Tagni Shubada Moksha Lagu Takrit Sudurlaba Sanjananda Visheshatma Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. So yesterday we discussed Kleshagni, which means that devotional service reduces or nullifies all kinds of suffering. Now we're going to discuss Shubada. Srila Prabhupada says the word Shubada indicates that devotional service bestows all good fortune on the world or on every living entity. So the good fortune has different ingredients. One ingredient of the good fortune is that the preacher or the devotee bestows good fortune on the world. Another meaning is that the world appreciates the preacher because they are made fortunate by the preacher. Another meaning is that devotional service bestows all good qualities on the devotee. And another feature is that it bestows all happiness on the devotee. But we won't discuss that now because happiness is also mentioned separately as one of the six characteristics. Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion defines all auspiciousness as meaning activities beneficial for every living entity. And one of the best examples of such auspiciousness is Lord Chaitanya when he passed through the Jarikanda forest and all the wild animals like lions, tigers, elephants, deers, and so on. They also joined the Sankirtan movement and chanted and danced in ecstasy. And in many places, like Mauritius, when Srila Prabhupada was there, he said that Krishna consciousness can bring benefit to every living entity. So one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, how? I mean, we can understand that it brings benefit to the human beings, but how does it bring benefit to the animals and plants? Because Srila Prabhupada mentioned the animals and plants. And Srila Prabhupada said, because when you do Harinam Sankirtan, the animals and plants also hear the holy name, and they also benefit. The six Goswamis are also good examples of auspiciousness. They're described in the prayers to the six Goswamis. Dira Dira Jana Priya Priya Karo Nirmat Saro Pujito. That they are dear both to the ruffians and to the gentle, because they're not envious of anyone. Dira means sober. Dhiras tatra namuyate. Someone who knows that he's not this body is sober, or dhira. He's not bewildered by the changes of the body. And people who identify with the body are adhira. They're the opposite. And in fact, the scriptures have said that people who identify with the body are animals. But the six Goswamis were so auspicious that they were loved by everyone, and they gave service to everyone, the sober and the adhira, or the And in the second verse also, which appears at the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. They are engaged in welfare activities meant to benefit the whole world, because they compile transcendental literature on the subject of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was the same, being the perfect representative of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis. Once on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was dealing with all sorts of people in Los Angeles. And somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada was able to please all of them. There were the temple devotees, there were some scientists, there were some devotees' parents, and all different ages and all different backgrounds. And at the end, Srila Prabhupada's secretary commented that, "Srila Prabhupada, everyone loves you." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, because I love everyone." So Shubhada means that the devotee gives benefit to the whole world, and the whole world loves the devotee. And the devotee develops all good qualities. So this is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's 1129. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratenasati davato bahi. Very famous verse. 1129. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no qualifications, because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So sometimes devotees question whether a neophyte can be engaged in pure devotional service. But actually, the whole subject of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is pure devotional service. And according to one's eligibility to render pure devotional service, one is categorized either as a Kanista Adhikari or Madhyam Adhikari or Uttama Adhikari, which we'll discuss in the third chapter. But the good qualities begin to manifest even in the stage of sadhana, bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada gives examples in the Nectar of Devotion about the devotees, that even though someone might be highly educated in the material sense, but he may have bad character and not be able to give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, or gambling. Whereas a devotee who may not be so qualified in the material estimation, but if he has the qualification of being Krishna's devotee, he can give up all sorts of sinful activities. Now we come to the next characteristic, which is happiness. Rupa Goswami explains that there are three types of happiness. Can any of you say what the three types of happiness are? Yeah. There's material happiness. There's the spiritual happiness of merging into Brahman, and there's the spiritual happiness of Krishna consciousness. And in material happiness, the mystic siddhis also come. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains how many of the same perfections that the yogis have are also achieved by the materialistic scientists. Like one of the perfections is that one can fly in the air, but the material scientists have achieved the same perfection in airplanes. Or another, one can float on water, so they've achieved the same perfection with boats. Another perfection, one can enter into stone, so they've also done the same thing with machines that excavate, and they even make subways under the ground and so on. So they're all material. But still, they're quite wonderful in terms of ordinary people. Like Srila Prabhupada told the story of one yogi who used to sit on the streets of Benares naked during the British rule. So the British constables came to him and told him, you just can't sit naked on the street. If you do that, we'll arrest you. So he didn't move. He just remained sitting there. They warned him again. He just remained sitting there. He wasn't bothered. So finally they arrested him and put him in jail. And by his mystic power, he reduced himself to a very minute size, and he came out through the keyhole in the prison door. And the next thing they knew, he was sitting on the street naked again. So again, they got very heavy with him. They arrested him, threw him in jail, and again he came out by the same method. Then after the third time, they decided we can't do anything with him. Just let him be. Srila Prabhupada told another story about one of his teachers that he had. His teacher was a follower or an admirer of some yogi in Calcutta. And once the teacher told the students how he had gone to the yogi, and the yogi had asked his admirers what they would like. Anything they wanted, he would get them. So they said, we would like a nice pomegranate. So at the time, there were no pomegranates available in Calcutta. It was not the season. So by the mystic city known as Prapti Siddhi, he brought one freshly cut branch of a pomegranate tree into the room. And they all had nice, ripe, fresh pomegranate. Srila Prabhupada mentions it indirectly in the Nectar of Devotion. He mentions the incident. But actually, we are not interested in material happiness at all. But even if one is interested in material happiness, he can get more from Krishna than from mystic perfections, because Krishna is Yogeshwar. He has all mystic powers. And once another friend in Calcutta came to Srila Prabhupada, and he had also just been to some yogi who produced apple. Yeah, he produced an apple, and then he cut up the apple and gave little slices to his admirers. So the Bengali gentleman, who's named Tarun Kanti Ghosh, he told Srila Prabhupada about what the yogi had done. And Srila Prabhupada said, we are not impressed. We are not impressed by his magic. We're impressed by Krishna's magic. Krishna's Yogeshwar. And he is producing so many apple trees. And each apple tree is producing so many apples. And in each apple, there are so many seeds. And within each seed, there's another apple tree with so many apples. So if we make friends with Krishna, he can give us as many apples as we want, not just one apple. And then he said, practically, we have experienced it. We went to America without anything. And now we have so many centers all over the world. And in every center, we're distributing so many apples. And where are the apples coming from? We're not going to the office to work or going to the factory, but Krishna is supplying the apples. So if we make friends with Krishna, we can get every benefit. Now we come to another important verse, which is 1.135 in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is found on page, corresponds to page 14 in Nectar of Devotion. Devotional service is very rarely achieved.
What was the Sanskrit term for happiness, or the that quality of Krishna and transcendental pleasure?
That is Sandra Ananda. S-A-N-D-R-A-N-A-N-D-A. Sandrananda Visheshatma. V-I-S-E-S-A-T-M-A. Now, here's a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sadanugar anasangair alavya suchirad api harinachas vadeyati dvida sasya sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means very difficult to obtain. Now, the translation of the verse is, devotional service is very difficult to attain for two reasons. First, unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection even if he renders devotional service for a long time. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. Now, in the original verse, Rupa Goswami uses the word sadhana. Sadhana anugai asanga. Activities of devotional service, ogai, by masses of, anasanga, without attachment, alabhya, is very difficult to achieve perfection. Now, here, but in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada refers to other types of practices outside devotional service, like penances and austerities and other things. So the meaning, because sometimes sadhana also, sadhana means practice. So sometimes sadhana applies to practices outside of devotional service. So Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says that by other practices outside devotional service, it's very difficult to attain devotional service. And this is confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. Matir Nikrishne Parato Svatova. That by one's own endeavor, or by the endeavor of others, or by a combination of one's own endeavors and the endeavors of others, one cannot come to Krishna consciousness. One can only come to Krishna consciousness if he's blessed by the mercy of the devotee. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj spoke these verses when he was asked by Hiranyakasipu how he became Krishna conscious, because nobody could understand how. Hiranyakasipu thought that the teachers were responsible for him being spoiled. But the teacher said, no, we're not responsible. We never allowed any Vaishnavas to enter the school and contaminate him. So then Hiranyakasipu said, well, how did he become Krishna conscious? And the teacher said, well, why don't you ask him? We don't know. So then Prahlad replied, this way, that one can't become Krishna conscious by his own endeavors, by the endeavors of others, or by joint meetings between oneself and others. Then how? Then how does one become Krishna conscious? But he's Uru Kramangre, that the Lord who performs wonderful activities, Matirna Krishna, we discuss. One can't develop Krishna consciousness by one's own efforts. But if one is favored by the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, then one can take to Krishna consciousness. So indirectly, Prahlad Maharaj was telling his father that you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious, because you're so proud, you'll never bow down to the lotus feet of the pure devotee. So you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious. And one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya wrote Shikshastak, which is so important, and the spiritual master is also so important, but is there any mention of the spiritual master in the Shikshastaka? And Prabhupada replied, yes. Shinadapi sunichena, tararapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, chaitanya sadhari. That if we actually become humble, then we can surrender to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and get his mercy and make advancement.
Where it says,
I'm coming to that. So now we discussed one explanation of the word sadhana, which means practices outside devotional service. Now, and that's one explanation. Then the other explanation given in the translation of Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that if one performs masses of devotional service without attachment to Krishna, he cannot attain bhava bhakti, because specifically bhava bhakti is what is being discussed, which is very difficult to attain and very rare. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are different stages in devotional service, beginning with ado shraddha, tata sadhu sangha, tata bhajana kriya, and so on. And attachment to Krishna really begins later in the stages of ruchi and asakti. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that unless one develops some attachment for Krishna in the form of taste, real taste for Krishna's service and real attachment for Krishna and Krishna's service, one cannot attain bhava. And one may have to practice for some time in the lower stages before he comes to the higher stages of ruchi and asakti. And then it's easy to come to bhava from there. So here we have an example of a difference of opinion between acharyas. Actually, Jiva Goswami says that sadhana refers to non-devotional practices, because if one was engaged in pure devotional service, he could quickly attain bhava. So he said sadhana refers to things like jnana and karma, or devotional service mixed with jnana and karma, but not pure devotional service. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that even if one engages in pure devotional service, he has to pass through so many stages and come to the stage of ruchi and asakti before he can attain bhava. And Srila Prabhupada accepts both in different places. Vaidhi bhakti is part of sadhana bhakti. There's two divisions in sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. So all of these stages up to attachment come in sadhana bhakti. And then one can go to bhava bhakti. But actually, just to come to Krishna consciousness and engage in sadhana bhakti, you need mercy. You need the mercy of the devotee. So the mercy of the devotee also comes in installments. And you also need the mercy of the devotee to come to bhava bhakti and to come to prema bhakti. So, there's one nice example about the mercy, about the relationship between the mercy and spiritual practices. And that is Mother Yashoda when she tried to bind Krishna. She wasn't able to bind Krishna. You know, no matter how many ropes she brought, she couldn't bind him. Even she brought all the ropes of Vraja, which were miles and miles and miles and miles of ropes, she still couldn't bind Krishna. The ropes were always 2 fingers too short. But then when Krishna saw that she was perspiring and, you know, she was so earnest in her endeavor to bind him for his own good so he wouldn't get into any more trouble, he allowed himself to be bound by her. So we have to engage in our spiritual practices and at the same time pray for the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And when Krishna and the Vaishnavas are satisfied with our endeavors, then they'll show mercy and allow us to come closer to them. He says that, no, he says that sadhana in this verse, that by heaps of sadhana, it is still very difficult to attain perfection. So he's saying sadhana refers to practices like austerity, penance. She says that she thought that pure devotional service meant prema. But here in the discussion of the 6 characteristics of pure devotional service, we see that some appear at the stage of sadhana bhakti and some appear at the stage of bhava bhakti. So actually, the definition of pure devotional service, anya vilasita sunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama, that is the subject of the whole bhakti rasamrita sindhu. And sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti can all come in the category of uttama bhakti if one has no other desire but to serve Krishna. But the other desires in the form of anarthas are not really impediments to pure devotional service unless you act on them. But if you, as a living entity, have decided that you want to serve Krishna, not your senses, so even if your senses say so many things or your mind say so many things, if you don't listen to your mind and senses, but just listen to Guru and Krishna, that's pure devotional service. But it becomes ripe at prema. Then your senses and your mind don't tell you anything except to serve Krishna. Every Vaishnav, real Vaishnav, is a spiritual master. He can guide you towards Krishna. And, you know, any one of them or any number of them can help us, give us mercy. And the more dust we take from the more lotus feet, probably the better it is. Yeah, like Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to offer 1,008 obeisances every day just to get the dust of the Vaishnavas. So Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Patha Pradarshika Guru, they're all gurus. And any Vaishnav, real Vaishnav, who can guide you closer to Krishna, he's guru. Okay, we'll just quickly finish the chapter. Rupa Goswami gives support in verse 1136. Which again is in Nectar of Devotion, page 14. And then again in 1137, which is on page 15, which is a very nice verse. I'll just read the translation. The great sage Narada said, My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always ready to help you. He is your master, guru, God, very dear friend, and head of your family. Yet sometimes he agrees to act as your servant or order carrier. You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is only possible by bhakti yoga. The Lord can give liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not give one bhakti yoga because by that process he is bound to the devotee. So this is another reason why it's rare. One is that you have to perform sadhana for a long time before you achieve bhava. And the other is that when Krishna gives someone bhakti in the higher stages, he gives himself to the devotee. So he can give economic development, he can give sense gratification, he can give liberation. But he hesitates to give bhakti, because when he gives bhakti, then by the power of bhakti, Krishna himself becomes conquered, and then he gives himself. Well, Rupa Goswami says that the characteristic of rareness especially applies to the stage of bhava. We'll come to that in the first paragraph of the next chapter. Srila Prabhupada says that sadhana bhakti has two qualities, bhava bhakti has four qualities, and prema bhakti has six qualities. So the qualities of relief from material distress and auspiciousness, those two qualities are in sadhana bhakti. Then the next two qualities, plus the first two, are in bhava bhakti, so that's four. And then those four qualities, plus the next two, are in prema bhakti. Every living entity, being part and parcel of Krishna, has some of Krishna's qualities. And Krishna's spiritual qualities include eternity, knowledge, and bliss, which are manifested in the spiritual world in different divisions. Just like in the material world, there's three divisions: mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness. So in the spiritual energy, there are also three divisions, which correspond to eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So Sandini Shakti corresponds to eternity, Samvit corresponds to knowledge, and Ladini corresponds to bliss. So these three exist already in a small quantity in the living entity. But when he comes to bhava, he gets more. By the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, he gets more. And when he comes to prema, he gets still more. So everything's already there, but Krishna adds more to it. Bonus for doing devotional service. All right. We'll just finish the first chapter at the beginning of the next class. And by your homework, I'll feel confident that you've studied the chapter. And we won't have to repeat things that are in the book. We'll just discuss things that might not be clear just from the reading. Thank you. Hare Krishna.